Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I'm your host, Pastor V. I'm so glad you're here. Today we are picking up with part number two in the series, recalculating, how to navigate through life's detours. And last Sunday, last week, we dealt with part one. Boy, I did not see that detour coming. So if you haven't watched that or participated in that, you can find that message on our website. Now today, the detour number two is, why do bad things happen to good people? What do you do when bad things happen to good people? And we're going to look at the life of Joseph. I have a good friend, a friend whom I admire. He is a gifted man. He's smart, intelligent. And he's well skilled in what he does. But he's also a man of God. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He remains faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He invests his time and talents to his glory. And he participates in the life of the church. And he is giving. He is compassionate. He's all those things. But about his virtues, he is a man of integrity. To him, his character means a lot. It's very important to him that he maintains his integrity before God, and also he maintains his character, which is godly and giving life to others. However, a couple of years ago, he was working at a company, and the company got audited by the government. And the CEO and the president and his boss, my friend's boss, they were all under an investigation. Now, my friend, he was innocent. He had nothing to do with the wrongdoings of the company, but he got roped into the investigation. And as a result, he lost his job. He had to leave the city where he was living at the time. And the word got out, and his reputation was in question now. His character was in question now. That which was so important to him, all gone, all gone. And I remember praying with my friend over the phone, and we prayed, and it was a really hard time for my friend. And he was asking, not only why is this happening to me, I am following Jesus. I am obedient to Jesus. I am entrusting myself to Jesus. Why is this all this happening? Certainly, he felt like he was on a detour. And he was trying to make sense out of all this because it was so painful. How about you? Have you ever experienced or encountered someone who faced a similar situation? You or they, you were living a good life. You were living an honest life. You're working hard and you're serving others. In short, you are a good person and yet bad things were happening to you. How do you make sense out of that? How do you find yourself out of that detour and get yourself back on track? How do we do that? Now, I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 39. But before I do that, would you do me a small favor? Wherever you are joining us from, would you write in the comment or in the chat where you are joining us from? That would be really helpful to me. And it'll be really helpful to everyone who's involved in this online ministry. So I want to give a big shout out to Fred and Shirley in Kamloops, BC. And hi to my good friend Albert in Houston. And of course, Hugh in Edmonton. Hi. So the rest of you, please do this a small favor for me. It'll be really encouraging to me if I knew where you're joining from. Okay? Now, I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 39. It's a fantastic story, a narrative written by Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And friends, I gotta tell you, the Holy Spirit is such a good storyteller. He includes information, He omits information so that you get to use your imagination. So let's do that. I want to encourage you to use picture it method. This is one way of receiving the word of the Lord. See yourself in the story. Better yet, why don't you put yourself in the shoes of Joseph? Hear the word of the Lord from Genesis chapter 39. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day after day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, Heavenly Father, our God, Almighty, I say the same prayer every time I open your Holy Scripture with my friends joining us online. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit, that we may see Jesus. Open our ears, Holy Spirit, that we may hear Jesus' voice. And open our hearts, Holy Spirit, that we may conceive Jesus to his glory and for the benefit of others around us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I want to start with the middle of the chapter in Genesis 39, and towards the end, I want to bring to you what that means. What does the middle of the story mean in terms of the beginning of 39 and the ending of chapter 39? And after that, I want to see if we could make any sense out of the meaning of the story, the middle story, in the context of the entire book of Genesis. So the middle, beginning, ending, and the whole book of Genesis. Here's what I believe that the Lord Jesus wants you and me to hear, see, and embrace, the theme and the goal of the message. When you are on a detour, not if, but when you are on a detour in your life, two things. Remain faithful to Jesus along the way, and trust Jesus for a better way. Not if, but when you face a life detour, when you find yourself off the course, you thought you were going to this destination here, but you find yourself on a detour, unexpected, unwanted, and this is hard and this is painful. When that happens, two things. Remain faithful to Jesus along the way. It's going to take some time, you see. It's a journey. It's a long detour. Hopefully not too long. Number two, trust Jesus for a better way. There is a better way since Jesus is sovereign. He is in control and He cares and then loves you and He is most interested in His purpose in your life. He will take you to a better way. So the middle of the story is about this well-known story about the temptation, right? Joseph is being tempted by his boss's wife. And this temptation was forceful, it was persistent, and it sure was tempting, right? It was forceful. We hear in verse 6, Joseph was well-built and handsome, and Potiphar's wife took notice. There's a hunk. There's a man of beauty and glory. And what does she say? She says, come to bed with me. In Hebrew, that command, that imperative, is just two words. Come sex. It was very forceful. And that's because Potiphar's wife was in a place of influence and power, and she was ordering a subservient, a servant, to come and have sex with her. So it was forceful, but it was also persistent because we read in verse 10, and she spoke to Joseph day after day after day after day. And that is the mood of that Hebrew grammar. It was an ongoing temptation. So it was forceful, it was persistent, and it was very tempting. See from Joseph's perspective. Here is Joseph, who was betrayed by his brothers. So this is chapter 37. He was betrayed by his own blood and flesh and blood, sold to Egypt as a slave. Now he's confined in this house. He's working as a slave. And he knows if he plays his cards right, if he appeases his master's wife sexually, if he does what she wants him to do, perhaps he could find his freedom. Perhaps he could find his way back home. Perhaps he could stop this detour once and for good. So this temptation was something to reckon with. Now, can you relate to this? I pray to the Lord, not in this context exactly, but in terms of you being tempted because you know what the right thing to do is. You know what is going to honor your integrity and your character and how this will preserve the reputation of your loved ones and most of all. God will be honored if you resist the temptation. I don't know. Are you a student? And you're under this tremendous pressure to perform well, to gain a good grade at this test, and you're being tempted. You heard that there are answers out there in the internet. You heard that if you pay money, somebody will help you with the test. Are you being tempted? Or have you been ever tempted in your career? You know what the right thing to do is. And if you just cut corner here and cut corner there, this will bring about prosperity, perhaps an advancement in your career. Besides, it's just a small thing. It's not a big thing. You're not going to harm anyone. The one getting hurt by your actions, you were being tempted. How did you respond to the temptation? Well, how did Joseph overcome this very forceful, persistent, and very tempting temptation? Like I said, when you find yourself on a detour, remain faithful to Jesus, right? So that's the first point. Let's go to verse 8. Joseph, he refused. And this is what he says. With me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. And listen to this. Listen, friends. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Isn't that interesting? Don't you find this strange, even? He says, if I yield into the temptation, if I do what you want me to do, madame, I will be sinning against God, and how could I? Now, if he commits the sexual activity with the boss's wife, he will be committing against his wife, certainly. You would say so, I would say so. Perhaps he will be even sinning against the woman in bed, because this is not right. But most of all, his rationale, the reason for saying no to the temptation, the reason for the ultimate motivation for saying, no, I refuse. No, I will not. And then Joseph did not even go near in the presence of Potiphar's wife after that. Why? What's the reason? How can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? His motivation was being faithful to Jesus, first and foremost. Now, friends, let's talk about morality. What makes something immoral? What makes an act or behavior or even a thought not right, wrong? Not against, you may not be breaking a law, you may not be even doing anything unethical, but it could be still immoral. So, for example, there are parts of the world where polygamy is allowed. Now, how do you feel about that? Would you say, if it's not hurting anyone, if it's not harming anyone with between two consenting adults, it's okay? Would you say that? Or would you say, there are some behaviors, even though with two consenting adults, they will be immoral? Now, friends, if we talk about what's ethical, what's allowed, what's acceptable, when we're talking about morality, we're talking about something that is right or something that is immoral, not right in an absolute sense. Like killing somebody, a human being, would be immoral. It transcends time and place. Now that's because there is such a thing as absolute morality with a capital M. Morality is defined by something else other than our own world. It is out there and given to us somehow, and we all instinctively know that to be true. So therefore, anything that is compromising against God, Joseph saying, I will not yield into this temptation. I will not commit myself doing this wicked thing and sin against God, because anything that is immoral is an offense against God. So in Psalm 53, the King David wrote this prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit right after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he murdered Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And he said, "Oh God, I have sinned against you and against you only." He does not mean he did not sin against Bathsheba and Uriah. He meant every sin, every act of immorality is ultimately sin against God. So Joseph overcame the temptation by being faithful to Jesus. I want to remain honorable before the Lord. I want to remain true, not only to myself, not only to my neighbors, but first and foremost, I desire to be true before the Lord. There's an interesting historical and cultural nuance that the Holy Spirit adds in the story. At the beginning, Potiphar entrusted everything under Joseph's care except for the food he ate. Now, in the Hebraic literature, that could mean a reference to sexual activity, having food. So, for example, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20, I read, "This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, 'I've done nothing wrong.'" So I wonder if the first audience of the story, the Jewish people, knowing this cultural context, they said, Potiphar had everything under Joseph's care except for his wife, and that is being reiterated in this literary device. Now, before I go on, let me say this. Let me repeat what Joseph's saying. He's saying, "I'm not going to sin against God. I will not do this wicked thing because I also have received so much from my boss, Potiphar. I am trusted much. Therefore, I must be trustworthy much." That makes sense? When God entrusts under your care, as a student, as a teacher, as a physician, as a nurse, as a builder, as a carpenter, whatever your vocation may be, since you have been entrusted much, you want to remain trustworthy. So this is how we remain faithful to the Lord Jesus, and this is how we find ourselves back on track. Jesus is more concerned about your purity, your integrity, and your character than your prosperity. Jesus wants you to maintain this virtue of honoring God and honoring yourself and honoring your neighbor. In short, we remain faithful to Jesus by becoming an audience of one. Does it matter what other people think about you? Or does it matter the most what Jesus think of you? I wrestle with that because I'm just like you. I'm just like you. What others think of me does matter, but at the end of the day, will I convince myself? Will I remain faithful to Jesus Christ by saying, "Lord Jesus, I am being tempted because I want to do what they want me to do, but I must be faithful to you first and foremost"? Friends, Joseph is a transformed character. When you found him in chapter 37, he was an obnoxious, selfish, self-absorbed, sociopathic, an evil person. He cared nothing about anyone else. He cared nothing about God either. But now, two chapters later, he's a changed man. He's honest. He's hardworking. He is concerned about Jesus Christ, what he thinks of him. That transformation took place because he was put on a detour. The hardship, the suffering that he faced was used by God to change his character for the better. So when you know, understand these things, you are able to remain faithful to Jesus. So once again, the theme and the goal, when you find yourself on a life's detour, first, remain faithful to Jesus, and second, trust Jesus for a better way. Along the way, as you remain faithful to Jesus, trust him for the better way. In the story, chapter 39, when Potiphar confronts Joseph and puts him into prison, how does Joseph respond? I find it really interesting and intriguing. He doesn't say anything. The Holy Spirit writes nothing about Joseph's response to Potiphar. If I were in his shoe, I wonder if I said, boss, let me tell you, let me defend myself. I am innocent. I am not guilty. I am falsely accused. I wonder if that what I would have done. Certainly. But Joseph doesn't. He remains silent. Why? Well, one clue is he is trusting Jesus for a better way. Let me read Psalm 26. This is prayer of the King David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have integrity, and I trust in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and test me. Evaluate my inner thoughts and motives, for I am ever aware of your faithfulness, and your loyalty continually motivates me. You see, I see Joseph trusting Jesus for a better way. He doesn't fully understand why all these detours are happening in his life. But one thing he does do, one thing he has learned to do from chapter 37 is he's putting his trust in the Lord Jesus, trusting that there is a better way. Now, can I talk to you about the beginning and the ending of chapter 39? What you will find is a mirror image. Practically speaking, same thing is being repeated at the beginning and also at the end. Chapter 39, it starts with in verse 2. There are lots of references, repetitions about the Lord blessing Joseph. Listen, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Verse 3, when his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. That translation, attendant, doesn't do justice. It really means the CFO, CEO, the right-hand guy. And this is why Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted everything under his care. Verse 5, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So, right there, Joseph learns to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for a better way because he recognizes the blessing of God, his presence, the Lord is with him. He is blessing him, and everything he does is successful. Not only because what he's doing, but because God is with him. He recognizes that. Friends, every good and perfect gift, every blessing is from the Lord. If you're prosperous, if you're successful, the Lord receives credit for that. Now, you had worked hard. You invested in all this. But the Bible makes it very clear. The reason you are successful is the Lord. He's blessing you. Let me put it this way. Joseph is not successful He is not prosperous because he worked hard, though he did, but it's because God's hand was with him. And not only did Joseph recognize it, the Egyptian, the person who doesn't believe in the God of the Bible, he sees that, he recognizes it. And that's why he entrusted everything under Joseph's care. He learned to trust Jesus for a better way. The word now, N-O-W, appears twice in this text. First in chapter verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt to be sold. And then verse 6, now Joseph was well built and handsome. That word now is a Hebraic way of referencing the time lapse. Okay? Some time has passed. Some time later. So here's the question. How many years have gone by? In chapter 37, how old was Joseph when he was sold to Egypt as a slave? 17. Stay with me. Let's do the math. In chapter 41, fast forward, when Pharaoh finally appoints him as the prime minister of the land, he was 30 years old. Okay? Now you're going to learn in chapter 41, when Joseph is sent to the prison, guess how many years he spends there? 12 years. What that means is he was serving Potiphar for 11 years as a slave. He worked hard. There's no question, according to all the commentaries and all the scholars, Joseph did not speak the language of the Egyptians. He is from the Canaanite world, the land, and therefore he learned everything, implying he began as the bottom of the totem pole, as it were, as the lowest slave, and he was working hard. He was faithful to God, and he learned the language and the culture. He was being faithful to Jesus because he trusted that Jesus could have a better way. 11 years, he poured out his faithfulness to God. For 11 years, he put his trust in the Lord. I have a friend whose dream was becoming a restaurant owner. And he was doing well. But then the pandemic happened. He had to lay off his employees. And at the end, he had to close everything down. He lost everything. He lost his dream. He lost his money. And he began driving a truck. This certainly has been a detour. And here's the thing. He's been a good person. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why was it that my friend was put on this detour? Only time will tell. But he's putting his trust in Christ, praying that there is a better way for him, right? But this is what he does. As he waits along the way, as he's remaining faithful to Jesus along the way, trusting that there is a better way with Jesus, what my friend is doing is he is being really, really good driver. He wakes up early. He is faithful. He works hard. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't cut corners. And he is remaining faithful to him. So friends, here. When you trust Jesus, then you are passionate about what he puts in front of you today. You want to have a successful tomorrow? Then God's hand must be on you. And when God's hand is upon you, what will you do? You will be faithful to today as to what he put in front of you. So be passionate about what you do, and do it well to the glory of God. And Jesus will take you to a better way. Now, Jesus is placed in the jail, and while he was there, this is what happens. So this is the end of chapter 39, the exact mirror image of the beginning. When he was put in prison, verse 21, the Lord was with him. Sounds familiar? He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. That sounds really familiar. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So recognize how you can trust in Jesus for a better way. He's in control. He is working out your affairs. He has a plan for you. Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers when you are in miserable circumstance, not by taking you out of the circumstance, but by adding more grace. Adding more grace. It's as if Jesus reminding Joseph, I know this is hard. I know this is difficult, but I am with you. My grace is sufficient for you. My hands are upon you. So listen, the Lord could have stopped all this, right? When Joseph was sold as a slave, he could have stopped all that, but he didn't. He let the detour occur. When he was working in Potiphar's home, and when he was falsely accused, God could have intervened, but he didn't. He let the detour continue on. And now, when he is placed in prison, this is chapter 40, God could have orchestrated a breakout, a jailbreak, right? Okay. But he didn't. He let Joseph's detour continue on. And while he was in the prison, he met the baker and the cupbearer of the Pharaoh as his prison fellow prisoners. But because of that, that detour led Joseph to become the prime minister of the land. You see, Jesus is sovereign. And he is orchestrating and overruling and then trumping over your life's detours. Yes, if he allows it, then he must have a plan. And if he has a plan, that plan is better than your plan and my plan. A man, the Bible says, plans his course in his heart, but it is the Lord who determines his footsteps. This is Romans chapter 8, 28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things, in good things, in bad things, in poor things, in rich things, in all things, in a straight line trip and a detour trip, in all things. God works because he is so sovereign. He's in control. He holds the universe in his hand, and therefore he has the power to bring something good out of all the detours of your life. The Lord says to you, my grace is sufficient for you. Put your trust in Jesus for a better way. Let's look at the whole book of Genesis. What does it mean? When you look at the whole book, as you journey with Joseph, as I alluded, God is saving not only Joseph, but Joseph's family. Not only the family, but the entire Israelites. Because there's a famine coming. A severe, severe famine in the land. And everyone's going to die of starvation. And in God, in his sovereign power, he is orchestrating, rearranging, overruling the affairs of Joseph in such a way that through Joseph, he saves all these people. And as God promised to Abraham, your descendants will be blessed. And sure enough, out of Joseph's genealogy, Jesus is born. And because of Jesus Christ, you and I, all of us, are calling on the name of the Lord, and we have become Christians, sons and daughters of God, and simply because, in the words of D.A. Carson, simply because, humanly speaking, all because Joseph kept his zipper up. Now, I don't mean, simply humanly speaking, God used all these detours to bring about where you and I are today. In his infinite wisdom, in his infinite power, he's taking you on his journey. Friends, I know this is hard when you are on a detour because we don't see what God sees. He sees everything. Now, unlike Joseph, we have the whole book. We have the whole story. So we can see the work of Jesus Christ throughout history. So let me end with this. Let me speak to the unbelieving friends of mine here. You are a seeker. You are spiritually curious about Jesus Christ, but you find yourself here. Now, in the story, the author, the Holy Spirit, says, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord showed favor, the Lord. But when Joseph is talking to Potiphar's wife, I will not commit do this wicked thing by sinning against God. Did you catch that? He used the word God speaking to Potiphar's wife, but when the Holy Spirit was describing the blessing of Joseph, he used the word Lord, L-O-R-D in caps. That word is Yahweh. It is a intimate and personal name of the Lord God Almighty given to Joseph. What that means is this: God's blessing of Joseph, God's presence with Joseph, God's guiding and leading of Joseph, all because God became the Lord, the intimate, personal, covenantal God with Joseph. Friends, you are not here by chance. Your journey up to today has been orchestrated. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But one thing for sure, I thus declare, the Lord Jesus is leading you. The Lord Jesus is opening doors, closing doors, sending you on a detour so that you may hear these words. He wants you, He commands you to kneel before Him, accept Him, and serve Him, love Him, because He loves you and because He wants to be your Lord. Your Lord. Let me speak to the followers of Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm so convicted by this. If you consider yourself a disciple of Christ, then you got to disciple somebody else. As simple as sharing your testimony to somebody. Tell somebody in your house church. Tell somebody in your sphere of influence. Tell somebody, a neighbor, friend, hey, Jesus Christ sent me on a detour, but Jesus Christ gave me a better way. My life is blessed because of Him. So let me conclude. When you find yourself on a detour, number one, remain faithful to Jesus along the way. And number two, trust Jesus for the better way. Back to my friend. He lost his job. His reputation was questions, his character blemished in the eyes of others, and he had to leave the city where he was living, and he lost everything in a way. But now he's been relocated close to family, close to friends. The Lord gave him a better job. He is investing his talents, his ability, and that company is using his contribution for the betterment of the society, and his pay has quadrupled. Praise the Lord. Now, everything is not complete, but my friend says, even though this is hard, even though my detour has not I have not found my way back 100%. I see God's presence. I see Jesus' hand upon me. And for that, I am grateful. And for that, I can move on. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, it is my prayer that my seeker friends in this room, in this platform, may hear your voice, your commanding voice, your loving voice. May they kneel before you, as I have, as I do, and find their destiny in you. May they find your purpose in their lives. And I pray for the rest of my friends, O Lord. We have received so much blessing as your disciples, and now help us to make disciples of others by sharing the story, by sharing our story in our house churches and elsewhere. To you we give all the glory. Amen.